Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse and your brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage. Hey friends, before I get started, I want to let you in on something that we will be announcing soon. I've asked our church to sponsor a Second Amendment Sunday event this coming July. July 28 to 30, mark those dates in your calendar, set them aside. That Friday evening, we're going to have our popular Lights On Banquet, complete with Lou's famous Santa Maria-style tri-tip barbecue, the best tri-tip meal you'll find anywhere, and just a great time with some wonderful like-minded friends, drawing and all everything and more than we've ever done before. Plus, of course, the highlight, a live performance of the Brain Massage Show. And friends, really, we're going all out on this one. Saturday, we'll have a full day dedicated to our Second Amendment rights with special booths and opportunities to get some free gun safety and personal safety instruction. Then, on Sunday, the services will be dedicated to the Bible and our Second Amendment rights. All kinds of free stuff, a great time of God and country singing and preaching. The registration form is now available on our website. And if you'll register before July 4th, you'll get a $10 per plate discount. So go to santamarialighthouse.org, that's santamarialighthouse.org, and you'll see the word banquet at the top right of the menu bar of the homepage. Click on that, and you'll find it elsewhere on the website as well. Hey, what's on the menu today? California Attorney General persecuting Christians. Yeah. Remember what happened in Oregon, Buster? Oregon politician that persecuted Christians lost his election here lately. And by the way, good news, my Oregon audience is surging lately. Corruption in education? Good night. I've got a whole list here of the crazy things going on in education. But here's the big news. The House passed a repeal and replace bill. Or did they? You know, the last time I got hoodwinked on this, I got all excited and went all in on it and then discovered that I was misled. We'll be looking at this much more closely this time. Call me naive, but when I heard the Dims singing, na, 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 hey, 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 goodbye. I was thinking, yeah, goodbye to Obamacare. But it turns out they were engaging in one of their usual manic depression delusional episodes. Break out the lithium, everyone, and pass it around. But what about the pre-existing conditions debate? The barrage of threats that are certain to come down upon the weak-kneed senators, accusing them of killing old people and abandoning hurting people and all that. Those nasty, rascally Republicans and all that. You know, it's coming. But folks, you know, when there's no God, then all you've got left is government. So anyway, the bill passed by, what was that, 5 votes? And now we face the Senate. I'm not sure it's time to pop corks on your Martinelli yet. Israel's Independence Day celebrated at the White House. Wonderful. That's unheard of. I don't believe that was even done during, you know, Bush or Reagan or any of the guys. I think that's awesome. Now, I got to talk about this illegal immigrant I saw in an interview who admits that he's here illegally, but refuses to admit that he is an illegal immigrant. I guess that kind of segues into Cinco de Mayo, which basically came out of a decision in Mexico to renege on their debts. And then Europe comes down on them and they get into a big fight and they won a big victory at Pueblo, I think it was. And so it becomes Cinco de Mayo. And anyway, that might take us into some discussion about the refugees who are here. And we know that they are directly responsible for spikes in crime. So what happens when a conservative is hired to write for a liberal magazine? Yeah. He gets slammed if he takes a position contrary to the climate change Kool-Aid drinkers. But anyway, Los Angeles Times publishes an article giving advice on snacks in North Korea. I wonder what they know is coming that I don't know. Are we going to be, you know, trolling about North Korea looking for snacks? Trump's on my side. He says, change the Senate rules and get legislation passed. Well, I'm with him on that, my friends. It is time for your brain massage.
Truth served here, flavored with delectable wit, succulent sagacity, luscious logic, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Okay, wonderful. What, and one more thing before we get rolling here. Jeremy called in with a Lansing, Michigan number, and he called to ask my secretary, what is a brain massage? Okay. For Jeremy and all of you who have that question, here is a scientific summary explanation of the brain massage.
The science of a brain massage. The brain masseur uses words like fingers to massage your gray matter, forming insights in the mind that stimulate the pituitary to signal the adrenal, to release noneparephrine neurotransmitters, and to fire these neurons through the sympathetic nervous system affecting the heart. The skilled brain masseur uses incisive logic to arrest our attention and nuanced razor-sharp rhetoric to cut away the tangled knots in our brains. When these knots are removed, the electrical impulse of stimulating insights fire the neurotransmitters so they can leap the synapse gaps. This generates a sparkling effect in the brain that can cause the countenance of a brain massage listener to glow. Additionally, sudden outbursts of energy caused by the release of glucose throughout the body increases the heart rate, while the pituitary gland in the brain releases all five types of dopamine at once. And this creates that sense of euphoria experienced by many brain massage listeners. And that's the science of a brain massage.
Folks, let's focus on the big news here today, all right? And that would be Trump's recent run at keeping his repeal and replace pledge. It's called the American Health Care Act of 2017, and I call it affectionately the Trump-Ryan scheme. And actually, I support it, so hold your horses on that. It narrowly passed the House by 5 votes, and 20 Republicans voted against it. The final score was 217 yay and 212 nay. The conservative caucus endorsed it. So who are these 20 Republicans who opposed it? Well, mostly these are the gophers, you know, the self-styled centrists. The reasons they gave range from opposition to how the bill was rushed through, which sounds really lame to all of us who've been waiting for years to see something done about this, and watching all the people suffering under this oppressive law. And then some others were concerned that it's going to hurt some people. But most of these are what we call rhino representatives who are going to oppose anything that might give them some bad press from the lamestream media. Or the mostly stupid media, or the Marxist socialist media. So it's on its way to the Senate. Mike Lee, senator from Utah, says the American Health Care Act of 2017 does not repeal Obamacare, and so he's not going to vote for it. Ted Cruz, senator from Texas, warns that the House bill cannot pass the Senate, but his objections to it seem to have been much mitigated. I heard that Levin is opposed to it, but I really can't find anything to substantiate that. Rush seems to like it. I heard him speak favorably of it. I read through it myself. I read through it quickly, I must say. I'll study it more closely as soon as I can. I checked into the specific issues of concern to me. It's called the American Health Care Act of 2017, and you'll find the word repeal used repeatedly. Here's a list of the times the word repeal shows up in this bill. Repeal of Medicaid provisions. Repeal of Medicaid expansion. Elimination of DSH cuts. I think that qualifies as a repeal. Repeal of cost-sharing subsidy. Repeal of the tax on employee health insurance premiums and health plan benefits. Repeal of tax on over-the-counter medications. Repeal of increase of tax on health savings accounts. Repeal of limitations on contributions to flexible spending accounts. Repeal of medical device excise tax. Repeal of elimination of deduction for expenses applicable to Medicare Part D subsidy. Repeal of increase in income threshold for determining medical care deduction. Repeal of Medicare tax increase. Repeal of tax on prescription medications. Repeal of health insurance tax. Repeal of tanning tax. Tanning tax, yeah. They put a 10% tax on tanning services and tanning salons. Repeal of net investment income tax. That's a little complicated to explain, a 3.8 tax on investment income and so on. It was imposed to help Obamacare. You might have noticed the word repeal does not show up, however, for the individual mandate and the employer mandate. What they did is they zeroed out the penalties so that the mandates become, well, moot at this time. And they defunded Planned Parenthood from receiving any federal funds for any part of their activity that involves abortions. Also, they offered some strengthened protection for conscientious objection to participating in abortions for medical professionals. And the left is howling like Lucifer about this. Everyone on the left is going crazy. On the floor, after the vote was taken, a group of Democrats started singing, na 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 na, hey, 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 goodbye. You remember that song? Great song. I like it, actually. A message to the Republicans that they intend to use their vote to drive them out of office. Anyway, what's up with this bill? What about it do Lee and Paul not like? Cruz was with them at first on this, but he seems to have backed off considerably as the bill becomes increasingly acceptable to the conservative caucus in the House and to many other conservatives. Essentially, Lee is saying it's not a repeal, it's a revision, and he says that he promised his constituents in Utah that he would work to repeal the bill, not merely revise it. Rand Paul has declared the bill DOA in the Senate, dead on arrival. He calls it Obamacare Lite. He believes it does not address some fundamental issues, and he thinks premiums and prices will, quote, continue to spiral out of control, end quote. He argues that, quote, to keep Obamacare-like subsidies to buy insurance but rename them refundable tax credits, he said that that was his chief concern. Well, let's take a look at this together, shall we? Hold on to the break, my friends. I'll be right back. Folks, I can see right now that my second segment is going to run a little long, so we're going to roll on through the break.
Stand
and
by.
Continue.
The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, my friends. Welcome back. I'm Jerry Scheidbach, pastor at the Lighthouse Baptist Church here in Santa Maria, your brain masseur and Paul Revere's lantern lighter, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, singling the enemies on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I'll try to summarize a succinct, illuminating response to the current state of repeal and replace. The conservative caucus decided to endorse the bill in the House because they felt Ryan and Trump sincerely worked hard to address many of their concerns. I came across an article that probably does the best job explaining it that I've seen. It's from a site called The Last Refuge, and it bylines itself as a ragtag bunch of conservative misfits. It's actually a pretty good site so far as I have been able to investigate it. But to summarize, it's actually something I have brought out before on this show. The options are to do nothing about Obamacare and so let it just collapse under its own weight. Second, we could just reject the latest Trump plan for attempting to repeal and replace the bill in tandem, that is, to get it all done in one bill, because it's not a clean repeal and then replace approach, which apparently for some is too complicated to understand. Or third, pursue repeal and replace using the, quote, three-phase approach being proposed by Ryan and Donald Trump, end quote. Well, let's take a look at this. And then I'm going to point out what I consider to be some real problems with the current bill. The issue is that many conservatives ran on replace and repeal. And at least three of these say that what they want is a clean repeal of Obamacare, and then to begin a process for addressing the problems with healthcare in America. Most of that is cost and accessibility. The reason for this is that attempting to do both in one bill is necessarily going to require compromise with some of the provisions in the existing bill, and it will be messy and time-consuming while Americans continue to suffer under Obamacare. And the reality is that unless McConnell is willing to go nuclear, there's no chance the bill is going to pass. So the Republicans in the Senate must nuke the filibuster in order to get, well, almost anything done. And I've already addressed the reason that is exactly what must be done and why it's right in earlier shows. But listen, the reality is this. Even then, the Republicans in the Senate would have to be almost 100% united behind any effort. The split in the Senate is 52-48. And that means that if only two or more Republicans balk, the bill dies. And we have Rand Paul, Mike Lee, and Meadows, who has also expressed some concern about this bill. And so, look, this is going to be an uphill battle on the hill for sure. Rand Paul and Mike Lee, especially, are refusing anything that comes in short of a clean repeal and replace. And the question is, can they be convinced to buy into the Trump-Ryan plan? Now, I happen to believe that the Trump-Ryan plan deserves support, even if it's not, in my view, the best plan. And I've explained that before. Here's the thing. When it comes to leading, you know, and getting things done, the objective is the thing. The plan to get there is secondary. I often tell my staff, you know, here's what I want done, and the plan that takes us there is irrelevant to me. Come up with one. Now, there are exceptions to that, obviously. A plan can become too costly, or it can involve costly compromise, or any plan that would undermine principle, or that would effectively undermine the objective itself. Now, that obviously should go without saying, but probably needs to be said here because some plans are problematic. And we will keep that in mind. Now, the Trump-Ryan plan is to proceed in three phases. You know, because a repeal of Obamacare would require a two-thirds majority in order to pass in the Senate, they want to use a process called reconciliation to address Obamacare spending, tax increases, and the mandates. And that's because you can vote on a reconciliation of an existing law with a simple majority vote, and there's no filibuster. However, the limit is, in reconciliation, you cannot structurally change the law that you're addressing. You can only change certain provisions in it. So the Trump-Ryan plan is to get as much done through reconciliation as it's possible to get done. And as I pointed out, they have proposed repealing a whole host of the provisions of the Obamacare bill. Now, this can pass with a simple majority vote in the Senate. No nuclear option would be necessary, they hope. The second step is to deregulate the marketplace through administrative action, which would eliminate, I think I read 192 Obamacare-related rules that would free up the marketplace so it can respond to market needs. And this, it is believed, will begin putting downward pressure on premiums and increase availability of insurance through marketplace dynamics. The third step would be then to pass additional bills that would address, you know, this issue of selling insurance over state lines, medical malpractice reforms, and other things that create some of the problems we're dealing with. However, these would require the 60-vote threshold to break through a Democrat blockade of the filibuster. Or it would require the implementation of what's called the nuclear option, where they just remove the availability of filibuster. Now, here's the problem. We know every Democrat is going to oppose any law put forward by Trump and his team. That's a given. And now we're hearing that Rand Paul, Mike Lee, and perhaps Meadows, and there may be some others out there I haven't found, are opposing the bill and declaring out loud in front of God and everybody that it's dead on arrival and so forth. Now, I've discussed reasons that they're saying this. We'll examine them a little more closely in a moment. But listen, if every Republican does not support this bill, I mean, look, one person could be a holdout, but that's it. Yeah, if it goes to 50-50, in other words, say it works out that Rand Paul and Mike Lee join the Democrats in opposing the Trump-Ryan plan. So you have a 50-50 split in the Senate. Well, Mike Pence would step in and break the tie. And he can be dependent on, of course, to break the tie in favor of the Trump-Ryan bill. So we're real close on this, my friends. But if only one more additional Republican joins the Dems on this, it's dead. Now, I would not be surprised if this comes to a vice presidential tiebreaker and it squeaks by the opposition. I think the GOP should support the Trump-Ryan plan. But I do understand why some conservatives are frustrated. For example, we've got to wonder about this GOP, you see. We know that if McConnell would go nuclear, well, you would think that a straight-up repeal would pass. So why won't McConnell go nuclear and simply get this done? You see, the dirty little secret is there are some gopers in there who actually want some version of Obamacare to stay in place. They want the government involved in regulating health care. They want government care, and they secretly, some of them secretly, actually want Obamacare to stay in place like it is. And further, they want single-payer health care in America. Yeah, there are not a great many of these, but there are enough of them so that it's gumming up the works and getting this done. Another thing, I really like the fact that so many of the provisions of Obamacare that are particularly disdainful to us are repealed in this new bill. And I understand that some of the things we want, like eliminating state line barriers and insurance and so forth, well, they can't be introduced in a reconciliation bill. But the question is, why did they not simply repeal the individual mandate and the employer mandate in their revised bill? Why did they leave these two most odious provisions of Obamacare in place? You know, even though they eliminated the penalties and the taxes associated with those mandates, they left these mandates in the bill. And the individual mandate in particular is troubling since it is a blatant usurpation of power by the government that is contrary to the Constitution and a violation of personal liberties. You know, and perhaps that would involve a structural change of the bill that would trigger the two-thirds rule, but I don't see how it could. I haven't, like I said, I've read through it quickly and looked at it cursorily. I'll study it more deeply later. They're pretty quick to pick up on things, and I don't see why they left the mandates alone. With regard to repealing them, I am suspicious about that. Perhaps further study will clarify something for me, but that is something that particularly concerns me because it suggests that there is a stronghold of this kind of big government oppressive thinking that lies beneath the surface within the GOP. Of course, we know that's there. It's laying right out in front of God and everybody in the DNC, but it's kind of buried and hidden in the GOP. Now, Rand's suggestion that renaming the subsidies tax credits is something of a shell game being played by the GOP is concerning to me, but I don't agree with him. I do think that there is a difference between these that is more substantial than apparently Ryan seems to believe. I mean, a subsidy is a direct payment from the government, whereas the tax credit allows the taxpayer to keep some of his own money. Now, I get it. In the end, a subsidy is returning money to taxpayers collected from them. But the difference is that in a subsidy, your tax money is being taken from you by the government and then given to someone they decide should have it. Whereas in a tax credit, you're keeping the tax dollars that you would have paid. So I believe there is a difference that's good. And I'm generally in favor, by the way, of anything that allows taxpayers to keep their own money. So you see what I mean? It goes back to a fundamental concern about what these people believe about their power to control your life. So anyway, I'd watch all this very closely. Bottom line, first, with the possible exception of what I've brought out here, I cannot find that the Trump-Ryan approach involves a violation of any oath to repeal and replace Obamacare. I believe it is working in that direction. I don't believe it involves any conservative in a compromise of his or her convictions or principles. It does not, in my mind, create any new problems. And in fact, it does address a great many of the problems caused by Obamacare. And in steps 2 and 3 that follow in this plan, the other concerns can be addressed. So I say support the bill. I agree it's not the plan I like best, and I agree that conservatives will need to ride herd on this thing and make certain promises are kept, as they've done. I mean, the conservatives in the House worked hard to bring Trump and Ryan to the table and hammer out a much better deal. So Trump, listen, has stepped out in front and he's leading. And he's leading in the right direction. So even if I don't think it's the best plan, it's the best plan in his playbook. It's taking us in the direction we need to go. And it's aiming at the destination we all want. So, as far as I'm concerned, let's roll. Beware, we're going to be barraged by a furious and fantastical attack from the left. Every single person hurt by the repeal of this bill is going to be paraded in front of us day and night. I personally know of people who have been devastated by Obamacare. But you don't know about them, you'll never hear about them. MSM ignores them. The MSM will go and they'll find people that they could talk into if they have to even make it up a story. Anita Hill type thing, you know, against the GOP bill. It's going to get ugly out there and we need to be prepared. Now, folks, you know I garden. And when I change something in the environment of my garden, well, some bugs benefit and some bugs don't. don't take offense. I'm trying to illustrate something. Now, maybe I can think of a better way to illustrate it. No matter what policy you adopt in any organization, you're going to find that some people in the organization will discover a way to benefit from that while others will be hurt by it. And then if you change it again, it's just the faces and names change between the winners and losers, but you're going to still have winners and losers. Anyone who has managed any size staff knows this. You cannot make policy decisions based on who it will hurt and who it will help. The focus of a leader must be on doing what's right and what is just and what is honest. Now think about this. If Obama had the power to literally confiscate the wealth, I'll just pick a couple of names of guys we hear about who have a lot of money. Bill Gates and, say, Warren Buffett. Well, obviously, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett would be hurt if he gave that money, if Obama took it and then gave it, or even a major portion of it, to 1 million people after he pocketed a major share, but distributed a significant amount to 1 million other people. Every one of those persons to whom he distributed that money would benefit from what Obama did. So you got 1 million people who benefited and only 2 persons hurt, right? But does that make it right? Does that make stealing from these men okay? Is it true that by taking money from some rich people and giving it to poor people, that the poor people who receive it benefit and the rich people for whom it is taken are hurt, and that's okay? Is that honest? Is that righteous? My friend, no. Not only is it not righteous, not only is it nothing but simple thievery, it's also short-sighted and wrong-headed. When you take money from people like, say, Gates and Warren Buffett, everyone that benefited from their personal distribution of their funds through their enterprises and so on would be hurt by that policy. You don't only hurt the rich, you hurt everyone helped by their investments. In other words, these guys, listen, in the main part, invest in enterprises that provide an ongoing source of income for thousands of people. If government takes it and then just doles it out to the so-called poor, well, that's a dead end. The money goes out of production-oriented circulation into the hands of those who are going to consume it until it's gone. In other words, not only is this approach wrong for moral reasons, it's also wrong for practical concerns. And you know what? When you really think this stuff through, you're going to find that to be the case every single time. What's right to be done is always best to be done in the end. Anytime some basic principle of personal liberty is violated, while some individuals here and there might benefit, what invariably happens is more people get hurt than helped. And most often, the ones who find a way to profit from the violation of personal liberty, they are typically the worst sorts of people in our society. Cockroaches benefit from a dirty kitchen, but that is not a reason to leave the kitchen dirty. Now, I'm not saying the poor cockroaches don't go there, but I am saying that many of the poor are indigent, lazy, and they think everyone around them owes them something. Many are looking for the handout and not the hand up. And policies like those the liberals keep coming up with only exacerbate this problem and add to the ranks of the handout crowd and actually get in the way of those of us who would like very much to give them a hand up. Now, finally, folks, if you don't have God, the closest thing to God you can find is government. And we fought the revolution in order to make the statement that no man, no king, no government is God, that every man is answerable to the God of heaven, that our dependency is upon him and not upon government. Socialism and communism put government in the place of God. Government is an unruly servant, constantly in need of correction, whose reins must be held tight and checked often in its constant inclination to encroach on personal liberties, which is its natural inclination. But listen, once you let it go and it becomes your master, you are doomed. America needs to turn from the false god of government that they worship today back to the true and living God of the Bible if they really want to restore this country. Because listen, it's always true that what is right to be done is always what's best to be done in the end. I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you call, let me know you see they are on. Call 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. If you want to write to me an email, go to our website, brainmassage.net. That's brainmassage.net. Be patient with us. We're having some trouble with that site, but you can still get in there and find a place to email me or to connect with me. And you'll also find a place there to send us a donation. We need your financial help to keep this ministry moving forward, taking the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and engaging the lies of the Antichrist in our society every time we get on the air. God bless you. God bless America. And I'll see you in church.
Satan is called the dragon and prince of the power of the air. The devil beware. Pastor Scheinbach is on the air, swinging the sword of truth at the dragons of deceit, thrusting the blade of incisive insight into the belly of liberal lies, lies that blind men's mind in darkness. He wants to know if you have his back. Go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457.